If you can see the notes on my screen, we're ready to roll. It's entitled, His Goodness is the Power of His Resurrection. And boy, I tell you, this is, it's going to bless you. So keep your ear to it. Don't let any distractions come around you. And if you start to feel anything that's distracting, pray it out. And I mean it, because you don't want to miss this. All right. Now, we all know, as I said, that the word goodness, it means affecting the mind agreeably. And it's directly tied to the power of his resurrection. And you're going to see why. It also means it's useful, it's beneficial, and valuable. All right? Useful, beneficial, and valuable. And I understand why that would plug in and tap into the resurrection. And I'm going to pick up in John chapter 20. John has been our book throughout this Passover weekend, this Easter weekend, rather. It has been really our book, John 13 through 18. And now we're in John 20, looking at John's account of the resurrection, or getting some nuggets from John, what John had recorded. All right. In John 20, verses 1 through 10, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him." Verse 3 says, "Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew," I see something, just a little sidebar. I see something, that other disciple we know is John. And I see something really powerful, that Peter and John were always kind of like, not, I wouldn't say competition. Well, what Peter did show some signs of competition about being wanting to be closest to Jesus. I see where John outruns Peter, but then John kind of gets a little despondent, probably a little afraid to go in. Then Peter catches up, and then you see Peter's love and desire to be close. Peter pushes his way into the sepulcher. He gets in there, and then John comes in after. So you see where these two are going kind of back and forth with their love for Christ. Now, I just thought that was kind of cool as a little sidebar. That's and I got a little takeaway from it, that, man, we need to run to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to really sprint into the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid, but go all the way in. And that's just a little takeaway that I got from those two going back and forth. And it says, now, verse 9 is the key. All right. Then went in also, verse 8 says, "Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed." Powerful. Verse 9 is our key for our message today. "For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead." Verse 10 says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." All right. So now verse 9 says they didn't have their minds, basically weren't affected in agreement to his resurrection. Then they all departed and went home.
Mm-hmm.
They left and went home. So it opens us up to realize something here. Until Jesus would come and open their eyes and affect their minds agreeably, they were lost.
Yeah.
Even though they had followed him, they had all that time of ministry with him, They experienced miracles. They walked in his power. But we see something that attaches itself here that's extremely important for us to understand. That unless our eyes are truly open to the fact that he is risen and that we have been affected in the fact that, truly affected in the fact that he has risen, all that you've heard and all that we know is for nothing.
Yes.
It's for nothing. They all went to their homes because the Bible says in verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So all that prior was nothing without God fastening the revelation of the resurrection to Jesus.
Amen.
So without a rhema of his resurrection, all those years would have been for nothing with those guys.
Yes.
It becomes evident then to me that every time, watch this, every time, oh, this is going to bless you right out the gate. Every time God releases his goodness, every time he affects our minds in agreement, we have to understand that it's coming from the place of Christ as being resurrected. He affects our minds because every single time we're getting the rhema word, it's coming from the resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
The resurrected Lord. That's why it gives you such strength and vigor when you first hear it, because it's coming from the place of his resurrection. And so we can take heart here that the goodness of the Lord truly is the power of his resurrection. It's the power of his resurrection. Everything they had learned prior to his death, as I said, burial, everything they learned prior to the death and burial had no more life in it. They needed his goodness on the fact that he had risen. They needed a rhema from the resurrected Savior that would then activate all that he's ever said to them.
Jesus.
So every rhema we get, people of God, listen to me now, is packed full of his resurrection power. Watch this. And look at how it coincides with how God has been teaching us over the last several weeks about learning to honor him, right? And turning from things that are of this world. So that, watch this, it's been a setup up to this day, this very day on Resurrection Sunday. All of the teaching has been a setup for God to open our eyes to see what kind of price we're paying by honoring him like this, so that we might know him in the power. Watch this now. It says in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 11, this is Paul's account. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Elder Donna, you had mentioned this the other day, that I may win Christ.
Amen, God.
Watch this now. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, my own intellect, my own way of thinking. I'll be found in him, not having my own way of thinking. I'll have not my own righteousness, which is of the law. But this is what he's going to have. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, when I tap into the intellect of God and I tap into the intellect of Christ by calling all things in my life that has substance to it loss, I now begin to walk in the faith of Christ himself, watch this, that I may know him and what? And the power of his resurrection.
Bless God.
That now, while I'm being touched in my mind agreeably, while I'm being affected in my mind agreeably, Paul basically says that from verse 9 to verse 10, it means why am I going through this? Why am I suffering loss of all things? That I may know him. That I may be affected in my mind.
Yes,
and knowing him really attaches itself to the power of his resurrection. In other words, every time I get a rhema, my situation gets resurrected. Every time the goodness of God is on me, my problems get resurrected into life. They get resurrected into deliverance. Everything takes place because of this.
Bless God.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable, watch this, unto his death. Now this is changing me into being the likeness of how Christ has died and never lived to self. I'm now being made conformable unto his death. Why, Paul? But if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's preparing me for eternal life.
Hallelujah.
This whole process is preparing us that we too, as Christ was, we will be resurrected just as he was. But we see the prerequisite, counting all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge. Goodness, the goodness of Lord is perfectly associated and perfectly tied to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Somebody God. Say amen if you're hearing me.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, God.
Hallelujah. Perfectly tied to it. Paul reveals that being affected in the mind agreeably, here's the note, bridges us to the power of his resurrection. In fact, it is the goodness that will one day cause us to achieve our own resurrection from the dead.
Thank you, Jesus.
But he also, in verses 7 and 8, he gives us, a beautiful outline of the prerequisite. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. He's not just talking about his doctrine of the law. He said, I count all things but loss. All things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For the goodness of God is why I count all things but loss. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ is nothing short of the goodness of God. The excellency of the knowledge is an awareness. It's knowing. That's what goodness is. Having an awareness, having a knowing, being in agreement. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I do count them but dung. Everything outside of Christ is dung. That's the terminology for manure.
Yes,
feces, if you will. It means nothing to Paul. Why? Because he was coming in and moving in the power of his resurrection. My God, when you have the source of power that can give life to every deficit and dead area of your life, I don't think anything else will matter to you.
Bless God.
It's nothing short of what we've been learning and how we've been learning to honor God. This is why. Why? Because it's been a setup that we would come in to know the power of his resurrection. Let nothing be above him. Be willing to count all things but loss to know him.
Yes, God.
All right. Now, we read early in the message in the beginning over in verse 9 of John 20. We read how it says that they did not yet know the scripture of his resurrection. They hadn't known that. It was not in their minds. And so we see where they fade off and they go to their homes. So we have an idea that they were actually lost. So watch how you're going to see how through the rhema that we receive now, it's by the goodness of God, how he comes and he affects our minds. But God wants to open your eyes and elevate your faith to knowing that every time he affects your mind, you are under the power of his resurrection. Everything that's dying or dead around you is under the power of the life giver. It can come into the perfect form. He wants you to understand this is where the healing can take place of all kinds. This is where you pass from death unto life. This is where situations change. His goodness is directly tied to it, but without it, they were lost and they went to their homes. And there was really no movement for them because it wasn't tied to resurrection. The Passover hadn't been fully completed, not in the era of Jesus Christ. The Passover was more than just killing the lamb. It was more than just the consumption. The Passover would take full effect, when the knowledge of his resurrection would be tied to it.
Amen.
So they hadn't had a revelation of this yet. But the Bible records, and in this segment of the message, it's his goodness opened their eyes. The Bible records at least 8 appearances of the resurrected Jesus to the different people, to different disciples at various times and locations. And this went on for exactly 40 days. He ascended 40 days after his resurrection. All right. So he appeared 8 times within a span of 40 days. That right there is prophetic alone. He appeared unto them 8 different times over a span of 40 days, a 40-day period, prior to his ascension. 8, we know, means new beginnings. And 40, we know, means expanded dominion. Through the knowledge of his resurrection, he was giving them a new beginning that would be found in the power of his resurrection. And at the same time, he was giving them expanding, he was giving and expanding their dominion. He was expanding dominion. He was giving them true authority every time when he appeared, what he was doing. And each appearance, if you read in the word, I'm going to show you something. If you read his appearing 8 times, you'll find that every time he appeared, victory was attached to it. Victory was in the room with whatever they were going through. Victory came in the room every time he appeared. Why? Because he was giving them the knowledge of his resurrection.
Bless God.
A scripture they did not have as of yet. They hadn't put the prophecies together yet from the Old Testament that talked about it. Jesus even said it himself unto them, but they still didn't catch it. He compared himself to Jonah at one time and told them that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so the Son of Man will rise on the 3rd day. But they could not catch it. He did not open their eyes as of yet. Proving and giving us a roadmap that we too must understand that the goodness of God is connected, directly associated with the power of his resurrection and has the power to bring life, healing, and deliverance. It's every time he comes unto you in a rhema word, by the goodness of God, what he's doing there is he's giving you a new beginning. He's giving you dominion.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Every time the goodness of the Lord is there, please get this in your spirit and in your soul right now. Every time his goodness is present, I'm telling you, the power of his resurrection is present too.
Bless God.
Watch this now. Here we go. We're going to dig in the old and watch confirmation in the new. So after Jesus is appearing to them, they start to understand it and they start to even add it to their messages and they start to connect it. It's connected. And you can see that the goodness of the Lord really in Jesus's resurrected state opened their eyes, which gave them access to the totality of all of his word.
Amen.
But let's see how their eyes were opened here. In Isaiah 53 and 10, this is so powerful. So, so powerful. Watch this now. Isaiah 53 and 10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." We read the words of Paul again. Paul taps into this. Paul is grafted into the knowledge of his resurrection. Paul is all up in it. Listen to what Paul says. All right. He confirms here in 1 Corinthians 15, 4 through 8. It says, and that he was buried, this confirms, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And the last of all, listen to what Paul, I never saw this before. And the last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. I even got a glimpse. I even saw him myself.
Wow.
Paul said it. I even saw him as one born. But that's not what made Paul understand totally. What made Paul understand and have knowledge of his resurrection was Paul tied 1 Corinthians, and it was revealed in Isaiah 53 and 10. You're saying, how? How does that equate with Isaiah 53 and 10? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and 10, he shall see his seed. Jesus went back to, he had no natural offspring, but he had offspring in the spirit. He went back and visited them and saw his seed.
Amen. Amen.
He visited them with all them that were under his ministry, basically, meeting with 500 at one time, meeting with all of the apostles at one time, and he saw his seed. And guess what? They saw his days were prolonged. That he was no longer asleep. He was no longer in the tomb. They saw the prolonging of his days. And Isaiah prophesied that he will see his seed and his days would be prolonged.
Hallelujah.
They came into the knowledge. He affected their minds in agreement about
Hallelujah,
his
Jesus.
Resurrection.
Hallelujah, God.
When
Hallelujah.
He first rose, they did not have knowledge of it. It was hard for them to grasp it. But boy, when he came to visit them, every time he was affecting their minds in agreement, then they start to really move in it. Paul even coming in late after all of them, and Paul starts to move in it and realizes. And so how do I say that the goodness of the Lord is attached? Because prior to him giving them the revelation, how is it attached to the resurrection? Because prior to them having the revelation of his resurrection, they were lost. So now every time he visits us, goodness is tied to the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. Now, let me tell you something. The effects of it have already been happening to us. It happens to all of the body when he touches us. But now you're going to know what you're under. As your mind gets straightened out, you're going to know you're under resurrection power. As your heart gets lifted, you're going to know that it's the resurrection power of the Lord. As vision comes clear, you're going to know it's the resurrection of the Lord. As peace moves over you, it's because of the goodness that is tied to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can step out even further while you're under this goodness and speak to those things that might be dying around you or in the lives of others. Because you're going to know you're under the resurrection power of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when he visited them, he affected their minds agreeably to the fact that he was resurrected. So one of the scriptures that came to them, which Paul confirms, is Isaiah 53 and 10. He came back and saw his seed, and they saw his days had been prolonged. We need to know without a witness, without a witness of his resurrection. Listen to me now. We need to know without a witness. If he did not put a witness in there, it's like an automatic witness. It's a clause to every rhema, a clause of the fact that you're tied to the resurrection. It's right in there every time he speaks to you. It's like it's in the fine print, but God is he's illuminating and magnifying the fine print before you today. He's letting you know that you're under resurrection power.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But we need to understand that without a witness of it, we would be powerless and void of salvation. I'm going to say that again. The reason why he had to attach it, he put it in goodness. All of the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness. So, but without it, we need to understand. We're so blessed.
Yes, we
are.
And
he attached resurrection power to his goodness.
Thank
because
you,
without
Lord.
It, we would not have power. We would be void of salvation. That's why, again, I say, every time we are receiving his goodness, it's full of resurrection power. Each time he affects our minds agreeably, it's coming from his resurrected state of being. You're receiving more. Jesus said, man, if you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going unto my Father. Why? Because I'm going to be talking to you from a different state. You knew me in the earth before I died and rose. I'm going to be speaking to you. And when I release unto you what I release unto you, power and authority is going to be given unto you. The Bible says that when Jesus walked through the wall, he met with those guys after he resurrected, just paraphrasing. He met with them. Then the Bible says there, he breathed on them there and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're in the fullness. You come into the full age of who I am because I've risen. Hallelujah. Psalm 16 and 10. Let's see what happens here. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who confirms this? How about Peter does? In Acts chapter 2, now we're moving and understanding. Now Peter's, that the scriptures of his resurrection are coming alive. Here's Peter in Acts 2, 25 through 32. For David speaketh, he says, concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made, a lot of people think David speaking of himself here, but watch this. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, for thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter goes on to say, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore being, oh, watch out, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now he's moving in resurrection power. Now, Peter, oh my God, God opened the eyes of his understanding. The goodness of the Lord affected his mind in agreement. No longer stagnant without the revelation of the resurrection. Now, oh, praise God, things are coming together. They're being tied together. He even calls David there a prophet. He said, listen, David is dead and buried. He's still here amongst us. David was talking about Jesus. Now it was coming to life. Again, we see where the Lord releases his goodness and affects their minds in agreement. Peter confirms Psalm 16 and 10. Prior to Christ revealing himself to them after his resurrection, these scriptures were unfamiliar to them. I'm going to say that again. Prior to Jesus revealing himself, after his resurrection, the scriptures on his resurrection were unfamiliar. They didn't know. And the key to them moving in kingdom power and authority was them knowing. Now watch this. Now every time we read their words that they've written unto us, they're writing and it's full of the goodness of God. which is full of the power of his resurrection. We have it easy. Every time we get a revelation, we're tied to the power of his resurrection. Every time our minds get affected, we're tied to the rhema of Christ rising from the dead. The Bible says that we have to believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths, and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. Guess what? Every time you hear, when you got saved and he anointed your ears to hear, every time you hear, you believe automatically that Jesus has been raised. It's tied in there. The goodness of the Lord is the power of his resurrection. It's the power of his resurrection. Now take it and take a step further. Go with it. Don't just sit there and just receive it like that. Go further. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Understand, you're under the power of his resurrection. Hey, glory be to God. I'm telling you right now, you are under the power of his. If your mind gets affected in agreement, you're moving in the power of his resurrection. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. I have a new rhema for you, and I'm about to close. But this rhema is so powerful and ties in there with everything we've been learning, all of the process in which we've been growing through, not going through, but we've been growing through this process. And I never saw this before, but the Lord dropped this on me like an atom bomb. When we honor with our first fruit, we honor and recognize his resurrection. Never saw this before. I want first to affirm to you that the goodness of the Lord is the revelation of the power of his resurrection. I pray that you understand that. I pray that you got the gist of that. And I pray that you utilize the power that's connected to that. There's authority. There's results. There's nothing but victory. Every time he stepped in the room, all eight resulted in victory because he revealed himself. Every rhema, he's revealing himself. And the Bible says that till we all come to the unity of the faith and the fullness and the measure of the stature of Christ, that means the full age. Well, every time you hear, you enter into the full age. What age is that? His resurrected state. His most powerful and authoritative state. Every time we hear, we step into that. So now it ties to the honor with the first fruit. Watch this here. This is going to bless you first fruit givers and some of you that are struggling going back and forth on whether or not you want to worship God that way. Hopefully this will help you. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. This is so good. Watch this, Daryl. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. Or actually, the morrow translates the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. The day after the Sabbath, they shall wave the first fruit. Why? Watch this now. The first fruits were presented the day after the Sabbath. Since the Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. The day after the Sabbath would be Sunday. The first day of the week.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the first fruit, and the first fruits were presented on Sunday. This prophesied of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week.
Oh my God.
It spoke about the resurrection of the Lord that would take place on that Sunday. And the priests were commanded, do not wave it. Don't worship with it on Saturday. It's Sunday when the first will rise. It's the Sunday, the first of the week, that the first fruit from the dead would rise. In fact, we see confirmation in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. It confirms that Christ is the first fruit from the dead. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. When did he rise? On that Sunday. They were commanded not to wave it on the Saturday. Why? Because it was a foreshadow of Christ. Our honor with the first fruit, people of God, is directly associated with the resurrection. We're honoring him for the resurrection, for him rising from the dead. It's another area where God is giving us a greater level of his goodness, a greater level of understanding to why we've been honoring with the first.
Jesus.
Because it's connected to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are connected to it via our worship and our honor. Verse 21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Wow.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, the first fruits, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. People of God, hear me. Please hear me. God was dropping Easter eggs. No pun intended, but pun intended. God was dropping Easter eggs even back in the Old Testament of the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't know it, but every time they honored with a first fruit, they were honoring his resurrection. It was a prophetic motion that he would be rising from the dead. So now as we honor, we're tapped into that, to the resurrection. We're saying now, I'm not telling you we were saying then because we didn't know then, but we are saying now that when we honor with our first, Lord, I see you as my resurrected Savior.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
As you were sown in the earth and then rose again, so I will sow. And Lord Jesus, I'm tied to rising too. Our first fruit offerings are directly tied to Christ in his most powerful state. Now when we worship, we will wave that offering. We will raise that offering up. I'm telling you, wave it before the Lord and tie and keep in the knowledge of the fact that he is the resurrected Savior.
Wow, God.
We have just been given the most powerful reason of honoring the Lord with our first fruits.
Yes, Lord God.
The most powerful reason. That's why it says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. So this now enhances and keeps us, it will enhance and keep us in the knowledge of his resurrection. That my first fruit. We always said, Elder Allison, that when we're sowing the first fruit, we're sowing into Christ Jesus. How correct we were.
Amen. But
boy, now he's telling us to what state of Christ we're sowing into. His resurrected state. So as you honor God with the first fruit, as you honor him, listen here, man, everything dead around you is going to come back to life. Everything you're believing him for is now tied to resurrection power. It all attaches perfectly together. It all does. It's perfectly entombed. I mean perfect. Counting all things done. Getting rid of the place that we've put money and things in. Giving them second place. Not a man on the planet, not a woman on the planet should be in front of God in your life. And money should not be anywhere near it. Well, let me fix that for you. Honor the Lord with your substance, and it is the root to how we kill all evil. Nothing else will be before God. And then we give it another blow. This is like God. He's always building three-folded cords. Then we honor him with our first fruit. Oh, get up out of town. And we speak. It speaks loudly to the fact that we understand
Yes, so good they see.
You are risen, Jesus. Just as they waved it on the set on the first day. And you were raised on the first day, the first fruit of God. Yeah. Those Easter eggs in the Old Testament, and a lot of people call it the law, but they don't seem to understand. They forget. We got to lean on the fact that it's also the foreshadow of how things would be. And that law has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. There is spiritual application to these things that were done naturally. Unfortunately for them, they didn't know it. Now we get to honor and understand it. Yes. And increase.
Yes.
And increase in the knowledge of him.
Yes.
We get to increase in the,
yes,
the actual fact of why we're doing what we're doing.
Oh, God, I bless you.
And please allow him to let healed healing yield to heal while we worship from this dimension. Let's see the outpour of his spirit. Let's experience the power of who Christ Jesus really and truthfully is. Stop living beneath the place that God has ordained for us to live in. Let's rise up to that place with an understanding. Oh, hallelujah. We got rid of the character or the state of the son of perdition. We got rid of it on Passover evening. That we will not be sons and daughters of perdition.
Amen, God.
That we will not allow anything to come before God like Judas did. Now God is setting us up, and I'm prophesying to you, so hear this and hear it well. He's setting us up for an outpour of his power. He's saying to us, you're going to be in position where you can handle the outpour of my power. But more importantly, the position he's speaking to you is a mindset where the love of money will have no more root in you because we honor. This is the increase of the goodness of the Lord unto us. This knowledge that you're receiving right now is the increase of the goodness of the Lord. He's increasing his goodness all over you right now. If he's affecting your mind in agreement, take a moment. Understand you're under the power of his resurrection. Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. The power of his resurrection is here to prosper your soul, to prosper you, and to prosper your health. Even as, simultaneously, as it's happening. Why can it all happen at once? Because it's the resurrection power of Jesus. There's only life in that. Only thing that's attached to it is life. That's it. That's it. Everything around you, you can enter into a place of thanksgiving even right now, because everything around you is resurrecting. Everything around you is under increase. Everything around you is under the Zoe of God. God's life is on everything. God's perfection, it's on you. This is the increase of his goodness unto us. His goodness revealing resurrection power. You can wipe out every deficit right now.
Yes.
Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
This is the increase of the goodness of the Lord unto us. Happy, blessed, and prosperous Easter to us all. Happy, blessed, and prosperous Easter.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory be to God. The anointing of the Lord is truly on the line. It's truly on the line. The anointing of God is so on the line right now. It's so in front of us. There's nothing but victory because you're being visited
Thank you.
By the resurrected Jesus.
Thank you.
His goodness is the power of his resurrection.
Oh, Lord.
Just imbibe that, smoke that, inhale that just for a moment. His goodness is the power of his resurrection. As your mind is being blessed, understand where you're really standing.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're not like the apostles were when he first raised without the knowledge of his resurrection. You're in the state of the apostles when they got the knowledge of his resurrection and walked in power and authority. Every time propitiation, some of you will understand it from this way. Every time your mind is propitiated, you're under the power of his resurrection. Now, what measure is up to you? By what measure you meet, it shall be met back unto you. Measures are, I believe, our choices. I choose to understand him at 100-fold. So therefore, I choose to let no other God be before me. I choose to let not substance or anything else be before me. I want him. I want what Paul said. If I might just know him. I told him today when I was done looking over the notes and in fellowship with him early this morning. I said, I still want more of you, Lord. There's still more. I said, I'm grateful for this.
Oh, God.
But I'm still hungry for more. I just want to hold you. I want to hug you. I want to kiss you. I want to love you, God. I want to be with you all the time. My appetite just... I know the Bible says that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But I probably won't be satisfied until he comes for us. And I've been changed. And I'm okay with that. But I know one thing. I know where the power of his resurrection is. And I know what that power entails. Life-giving. Life. Hallelujah, Master. Father, let us all experience it today. Let us all experience it even the more. I know some of us experienced it while they've been in the Word, but let us experience it, Lord. From the inside to the outside, let us experience it. Your goodness tied to your resurrection. Oh, and we give you praise for it. We give you glory for it, Master. It is harder to go to hell after we've been saved. It's much harder to lose our salvation. You put us on lock. You're so powerful with how you've constructed salvation. It's amazing to me, Master, lifting your hands, if you will. It's amazing to me, Master, how dynamic you are and how you've done this. Father, you are amazing.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you are. You're amazing, Father. How salvation is tied to every rhema that we hear. How salvation, Lord God, is revealed. How even in the manner of your resurrection, it's in the Word.
Thank you, Jesus.
How did you? I don't even. You're amazing. My God, you're amazing. That just by hearing a word, just one word, resurrection is here.
Oh, Jesus.
Resurrection is here by just one word.
Oh, God, my sin. Thank God.
There's no power of any enemy that could ever withstand this. How fast you break us free. How fast we're resurrected again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Leads me to believe when Paul said, I die daily, Father, it also meant that he lived daily. He was resurrected daily because of the word. Because of your goodness. Now I pray for everyone under the line, Lord God, on this line, and everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that they be resurrected today. If they haven't already, let it happen for them. And I give you glory. I give you glory for such great salvation. I give you glory, Master. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Master. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Thank you so much. A few comments in the chat before I release you to your families to enjoy the rest of your Easter. A few comments say, from Evangelist Darrell, he says, every rhema is proof of the resurrection of Christ. Why? Truth. Because dead men don't talk. Come on, Darrell. Come on, man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You could have said that, and I didn't have to preach. You could have said that, and it would have been finished right there.
Amen.
Elder Allison says amen in all caps. Elder Donna says amen, amen, and amen. And Jen taps in with another amen. Evangelist Darrell says, wow, this is so good. And he says again, hallelujah. Are you hearing this? Glory to God. Jesus Christ is alive. I hear him. You better believe it.
Yes,
I'm watching. God. He says, hallelujah. It says, now read the first fruits. He reiterates, we are first fruits waved on Sunday, not Saturday, and is associated with the resurrection. Wow. He says, hallelujah. Elder Donna says, hallelujah, God, wonderful God. Elder Allison says, amen. Joshua says, amen. And Elder Donna says, just said, she's left off with, we just received a breakthrough, a harvest. And yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. A breakthrough is a sudden burst of the knowledge of God.
Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
We just received it.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay, now we're going to honor God. Let's honor him now. Don't everybody hang up. Wait for a minute. Honor the Lord. At least worship. If you don't have it to give, it'll be counted as though you did when your heart is in that place. But let's honor the Lord today. I pray that every seed will have, because of the knowledge that you received, because of how you've been affected, every seed will hold resurrection power. Every gift given will hold the power of his resurrection because you're giving it in the knowledge of it. So everything you sow, everything you give, whether it's your tithe, your first fruit, or free will offering, any seed you sow today will be associated with the power of his resurrection.
Yes, God.
That first fruit, my God, that first fruit. Oh, as you release that first fruit. Oh, you are walking in revealed prophecy. You're attached to it. And the Bible says this in the New Testament, just so you know, it's okay to give it. It says that Jesus would have preeminence in everything. He'd be first in everything. That's what preeminence means. So to honor him with a first fruit ties into the resurrection. You're saying, I agree with that. I'm in that. I feel that. And I honor you for that. And I take all, watch this now. I take on the harvest of our forefathers that didn't understand the foreshadow. We receive the harvest of even what they gave. We receive the harvest that it was meant to yield. Resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, Jesus, today. Hallelujah, we thank you today. We bless you, Lord.
Thank you.
If you're cash apping, you guys know what to do. It's $TrueGospelMens for cash appers. Look for the logo. And if you're Zelling, you also know it's TrueGospelMens@AOL.com. But honor him. My God, is he worthy. He's so worthy. And don't forget the other benefit here, the axe is laid at the root. I truly believe this is why we're getting a whole new sound in our ministry. Because the axe is laid at the root and we're seeing the whole. He's ministering to us from the whole now. We're not in portions and bits and pieces. It's evidence and confirmation to the fact that the axe has been laid at the root. We're hearing on a much higher level. It's nothing but up from here, people of God. And we ain't seen nothing yet. So hallelujah. God bless you guys. We're going to forego on the announcements.